Used to be said that a nation's taste for good wine is a barometer of its civilization. Of course, they used to say that in France, which until recently was the world's unquestioned leader in wine production. But French winemakers are being challenged by cheaper and quite good exports from Chile, South Africa, and especially Australia and New Zealand. Winemakers in the Mediterranean district of Languedoc, France's largest wine-producing region, have been fighting back quite literally. They have attacked wine trucks, supermarkets, even a government office, and they have threatened more violence if President Nicolas Sarkozy does not come to their aid. Frank Browning reports.
'87-year-old Paul Coudert only began playing saxophone when he was 50. Back then, he was president of the wine co-op at Gabion in the Upper Languedoc region. The co-op was flying high, producing 500,000 bottles a year from vineyards that were first tended by the Romans. He was still playing at the annual feast of Saint Jean in June, but things aren't looking so good, either for Gabion or for the vintners surrounding the town.
We are about 80 wine producers here in Gabion, and I can say that maybe 8 are living from the wine.
Jean-Pierre Rosier is a retired marketing executive with a few acres of his own grapes, who's lending his business knowledge to the local co-op to help turn it around.
We need to keep our sons, our grandsons here on the territory. Gabion was very, very well known at the Roman period 2,000 years ago. We need to keep it for the next 2,000 years in front of us.
Some 200 townspeople joined Rosier at picnic tables, sampling sausages ground from local pigs, while old Paul Coudert played. His son Jacques is now president of the co-op. Rosier translated.
The problem is that we are wine producers, we are wine farmers, and we don't know how to market our product.
That's one point everyone agrees on, but it's not the only issue. A half an hour away, Jean-Luc Grenier and his wife tend about 50 acres of vineyard. They sell their grapes through another co-op at Val-Rose.
Aujourd'hui, le gros problème, c'est la mondialisation.
Today, the big problem is globalization. Other countries compete against us at a lower cost than ours, Australia, Chile, Argentina, even the U.S. They hire people cheap. Our costs are really heavy. Farming practices and regulations forbid chemicals we can't use because they are not considered ecological. In Italy and Spain, it is not like that.
Grenier is a big, burly fellow with a hearty laugh, proud of his Occitan heritage. A descendant in blood and spirit of the people who lived in Languedoc 1,000 years before they were conquered by the King of France. That's part of the reason he's finishing a 7-year suspended sentence for leading a group of winemakers into a public office and destroying computers to protest what he felt were the government's meager farm support and marketing policies. Grenier has seen his vineyard income fall steadily for the last decade.
40%. Il a descendu de 40%.
40%? It dropped 40% in the last 10 or 15 years. There's always been a crisis in Languedoc, but before it was French laws we had to follow. Now it is all in Brussels.
To deal with falling prices and the growing wine glut, European Union officials in Brussels have threatened to cut subsidies across the continent and instead have proposed to pay winemakers to rip up 500,000 acres of vines, a policy no winemaker likes. Least of all, a shadowy group called CRAV, the Regional Action Committee of Winemakers. This spring, 5 CRAV members in hoods and ski masks staged a press briefing for France's TV3 just before midnight in a cave to issue an ultimatum to newly elected President Nicolas Sarkozy.
L'ultimatum, si dans un mois rien n'a changé, que les prix du vin ne sont pas repartis à la hausse.
They gave Sarkozy's government a choice: resist the EU demands and provide protection against cheap imported wine, or see blood in the streets. Journalist Chris Mercer is writing a book on the Languedoc wine militants.
They've carried out various attacks on, for example, trucks, Spanish wine coming over the border into France, also foreign wine stored in vats, government buildings, and also train lines. A favourite trick is to cut the signals on the train lines here in the south.
It's not the first time winemakers in Languedoc have used violence. Exactly a century ago, tens of thousands of Occitans took to the streets. The government sent troops. The locals blew up the train lines, but the soldiers refused to fire on the people. One of the largest independent wine producers in Languedoc is the Abbey de Valmagne, a 12th century monastery with fountains in the courtyard and a vineyard run by Philippe de Laden. The descendant of a long line of aristocrats says the militants just don't understand the world wine market.
I don't know how the government could protect anybody. It's impossible. It's the world market.
The real problem, Delaine says, is French marketing, or the absence of marketing.
We were used in France, for example, to say, taste my wine and buy it, and it was enough. It was very easy.
He cites the British wine market.
A French producer puts about 50 centimes of euro for marketing the wine in England. Australian would put probably 2 euro.
4 times as much.
Yes.
Which is fine for large producers like the Abbey de Valmagne that also receives 30,000 paying tourists a year. Small producers and village co-ops don't have that kind of visibility or income. Even though they'd be paid well for ripping out their vineyards, Chris Mercer says they want the EU to invest in wine marketing.
The problem is, for a lot of winemakers in the south of France, they see winemaking as a sort of a way of life. They don't see why they should rip out their vines and even plant something else, just like a generic crop. They really don't see it in such a commercial way.
Back in his own vineyard, militant Jean-Luc Grenier offers an ominous laugh as to what will happen if the Sarkozy government goes along with EU proposals.
Eh bien, nous espérons. Sinon, il faudra qu'on se fasse entendre d'une autre façon.
We're hopeful, he says. But if that happens, we'll have to consider taking up other actions. Actions he doesn't care to describe. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning.